Welcome to Focus on the Community, a weekly program that focuses on issues and events in our community.
And hello there and happy weekend. Frank Rush along with you for another Focus on Community. Good to have you along this weekend. Hope things are going well for you. And we're going to try to save you a little bit of money with our little monthly chat with Tim Maniscalco for the Better Business Bureau of Indiana. Tim, how you doing?
Fantastic. How about yourself, Frank?
Not bad at all. So I take it you guys, you still haven't managed to put all the scammers out of business, so you're still in business, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, they are still alive and well, and we are trying to get the word out so that people don't fall for it. So, yep, they're still out there.
Well, a couple of words of advice. We could cut this short. Don't answer the phone and get off Facebook.
And yeah. Stay in bed, right?
Yeah, that would help. But you know, there's something out there. I know you guys are really kind of working on right now. Fake friends and phony charities on Facebook. That's kind of a big deal, and it has been for a while.
Yeah, here's one. You know, if you had a friend who asked you to think about giving money to a charity, you'd probably give that some, you know, extra consideration. Well, what we're finding is that someone is going to steal your identity on Facebook, and then they're going to pose, as your friend on Facebook, and they're going to ask you to look at and give to a charity. Now, the charity that they are going to direct you to really isn't a charity. It's a fake charity. But this person is going to ask you to donate to that charity. It's going to appear as though it's someone that you know on Facebook. And, you know, you're probably going to give that some extra consideration and might indeed give some money to that charity. So you just want to be very, very careful if you do get some sort of request or solicitation from somebody on Facebook to go to a charity, particularly if it's a charity that you don't know about or, you've not really heard about this one before. Just be very, very careful of those types of things. Anybody can, you know, have their identity stolen on the social media platforms. You want to make certain that before you give your money, you do your research, look at the website, you know, look for, go back and ask that person about some details, because they're probably going to have some, you know, sob story about how this charity is helping people do such and such, and they're in this predicament, what have you. Just be very, very careful of those types of things. It's just another way in which the technology that we have today is being used for nefarious purposes. So we're seeing a little bit of that with Facebook right now.
I tried something like that, but nobody wanted to give to the Frank Rush charity. I don't know why. So, yeah, I know if you go to the BBB.org, you guys have an article there, 10 Steps to Avoid Scams. Folks might want to check that out. And a little helpful advice form there that you might want to think about that. You know, the other thing that's kind of out there too, obviously Facebook's one thing, but you also get calls, voicemails about job offers, and the job offers aren't real.
Yeah, this is going to be one where you get a voicemail, and it's going to be somebody who says, "Oh, gee, haven't talked to you in a while. Just wanted to reconnect with you," and then they're going to talk to you about this great work-at-home job that they've gotten, and they want to let you know about it and to go ahead and look into that. What they're trying to do here is get you to go to a website, and that website is going to ask you a whole bunch of personal information. They might get things like your Social Security number. They may even ask you for your banking information, because if you're going to be working at this company or do a work-at-home sort of thing, they're going to need to, you know, have a place where they can send you your paychecks and things like that. Bottom line is, this is just a way to get your personal information, some financial information, your Social Security number, and it's all started with a phone call, a message that you're going to receive, and you're going to say to yourself, "Boy, yeah, gee, I don't remember this person exactly, but I must have talked to them because they know some things about me, and they said that we talked a long time ago, and this guy's trying to do me a favor, and he's got this great employment situation that worked out for him." So it's just, once again, one of those things where it looks like someone is trying to do you a favor here. You can't exactly place who they are, but you say, "Boy, I'm going to check this thing out and just see what it's all about." So just a way to get your information and once again, beguile you, fool you a little bit into thinking that someone's trying to do you a favor.
Boy, is it just me? I don't trust anybody. I mean, yeah, I figure if you're calling and you're offering me something good like that, well, I automatically, the antenna go up and I'm thinking you're trying to cheat me. I don't know. I'm just naturally suspicious of that kind of stuff, I guess. And I think everybody should be a little bit, because you just never know.
Yeah, you just don't know. And once again, if you can't remember who it is, and it just, you know, you're trying to say to yourself, boy, I can't remember ever talking to this person, but, well, I must have talked to them because they know me and they acted like, you know, they had talked once before. Just, once again, be a little suspicious. And before you start giving out your personal information, you want to be absolutely 100% certain who you're giving it to, why you're giving it to them, and that it's going to be safe.
I guess I'm just used to people not really liking me that much, so I don't think that they're going to want to call and offer me anything.
You know? Well, you know, there are people who are trying to do good things for other people, but unfortunately the scammers take advantage of that and try to emulate that into making you think that someone's doing something good for you.
I guess. Well, you know, as we talk about, you know, the little fake voicemails and that kind of stuff, you know, and it's all about, you know, the fake job and that. Employment scams, I guess you guys, that was kind of one of the biggest things for you in 2018 was employment scams, right?
Yeah, employment scams went to the top of the list on scams for 2018. And what that is based on is, you know, we've talked about Scam Tracker a lot on your program. Scam Tracker is our web-based tool where people can go and either report scams that have been attempted on them, or you can go in and look at scams that are occurring in your area. So what we do each year is we take all of those scams, and in 2018, across the entire BBB organization, there were over 50,000 scams reported on Scam Tracker. We take those and we look at that. We analyze that data, see which scams are the most prevalent out there. And employment scams were the riskiest scams out there. And what we really think happened in 2018, if you remember, Amazon was looking for a second headquarters, and they were going and looking at different cities and trying to whittle it down where they were going to build their second headquarter. Well, a lot of these employment scams, they posed as Amazon saying, hey, you know, we've got some jobs for you. These are work-at-home jobs. A lot of people fell for those. In fact, a lot of people here in central Indiana actually fell for those, because if you remember, the Indianapolis area was one of the, I think we were one of the 20 finalist cities for the Amazon headquarters. So it was really the whole Amazon effect that kind of pushed that up, and there were a lot of fake Amazon employment scams. So that really came to the top in our scams for 2018.
Wow, that's really kind of amazing to me, because you think of scams, normally the people that would fall for scams aren't the ones that want to go to work. You know, they're usually they're trying to get something for nothing, it would seem. But you know,
and these are mostly work at home scams. You know, you can make $1,000 a week by basically sitting at your kitchen table, you know, doing something, and that's what makes it so appealing.
You know, before you and I actually got on the air here and started talking about this, we were kind of talking off air about who falls for these scams. And what's amazing to me, and I guess some of your research is showing this too, the ones that are falling for the scams the most are the people that you would think wouldn't, because they've grown up with technology and this stuff in their hand almost from birth. And yet it's the younger ones that are kind of falling for this stuff.
Yeah, what we do, like I said, with all of the scams that are reported to us, we do an analysis each year, and we look at what age groups are scammed the most. And like you just said, the people that are scammed the most are actually the millennials, interestingly enough. They have the highest rate of being scammed, and a lot of that is because most of the scams now are perpetrated somehow via the Internet or the phone. Millennials are accustomed to using the Internet. They put out a lot of information on the Internet. They trust the Internet, and therefore that is used against them. So you would think it would be, you know, the older people that fall for these scams. But interestingly enough, it's actually millennials that get scammed more often. Now, the interesting thing is they get scammed more often, but for less money on average. Elderly people get scammed less often, but their average loss is more. But, yeah, it's millennials who are by far the most often scammed demographic out there.
Some of that, I guess, is not so hard to believe because the millennials, well, they don't have any money, so they can't lose as much. The older folks have worked all their lives, and so they have more disposable income, more money to draw from. So the ability to lose that money, I would think, is probably greater. But still, the younger folks, so you would think they would understand how easy it is to cheat when it comes to being on the internet. You would think they would get that. They would know how the technology works, but well, I guess not, you know, so I don't know.
Yeah. Well, the thing that happens with elderly people is a lot of the scams that they fall for are what I'm going to call the traditional scams, where someone comes and knocks on your door. Maybe you've had some damage to your roof. Someone says, "Hey, I can repair your roof. Give me, $500 down, and I'll come back next week and fix your roof." You pay them $500, and they never show up. So that's the typical sort of scam that a elderly person would fall for, where, like you say, the younger millennials, it's a lot of internet stuff, maybe smaller dollar stuff, but a lot of it.
And the interesting thing here is, too, is that, see, I would have thought that the ones actually perpetrating these crimes would have been the millennials who, you know, like I said, I mean, let's face it, most kids nowadays are born with an iPhone or an Android in their hand, it seems like. But from what you found out, though, a lot of this stuff, well, I don't know if the kids are too lazy to go to the effort to do it here, but most of these scams are coming from not here in America. They're actually coming from overseas.
Yeah, most of these are perpetrated in a country outside the United States. It's in a country where the government is not particularly interested in catching these people because it's income into their economy. They aren't worried about trying to catch these people. And the other thing is, you can be stealthy and anonymous on the internet. I can, you know, put up fake websites. You're never going to track me. If you start to get too close, I'm going to shut that website down and start up another one. So it's a easy way for them to, not get caught, and a very cheap way. You know, I can send out 100,000 emails for almost nothing. All I need is a very small percentage of the people to fall for it, and I've made money. So it's as far as a way to con people, it's a pretty easy, effective way, particularly if there's no threat of getting caught.
Now, like you said, overseas, they're not all that interested. They really don't care if they catch these crooks because it's money going into an economy that doesn't really have any money to begin with. But here in America, though, the rules and the laws are a little bit more strict, and they will actually kind of track you down here, and they do have the ability to do that, right?
Yeah, if you're operating here in the United States, your chance of getting caught is much, much higher than it would be outside the United States. So these folks are very, very savvy in getting that money outside the country very, very quickly, changing their identity on the internet so no one can, you know, catch them, can track them down. And the other problem is, a lot of these are small amounts. Even though in total they add up to a lot, it's tough for any individual law enforcement agency to go after, you know, a small amount of money. They just don't have the resources to do that. But in total, when you take everybody who's been scammed, it's a multi-billion dollar endeavor out there. There's a lot of money to be made by this, by the scammers, and they know that. And they've geared up for this. They have some very, very sophisticated operations. They know how to do it. They know how to, make you think one thing when actually something else is happening. So they're getting very, very sophisticated at this.
Kind of makes you long for the good old days where the scammers usually actually have to come to your front door and knock on the door and convince you to hand over some cash long before the internet was ever thought of. So maybe we ought to just close down the internet.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Probably not.
You do need to be careful.
Hey, as we talk about the scam tracker, you guys actually have the risk report. It's out. You can actually read that. And your website's got all kinds of stuff, including scam tracker. And if you want your info, if you've been taken advantage of or you've seen something going on, you want to report it to Scam Tracker, this is how you guys get the information you get, is by everybody cooperating together and helping out, right?
Yeah, Scam Tracker is just a great tool. If you go to scamtracker.org or bbb.org and click on the Scam Tracker button, you can look and see what scams are going on in your area. Or if you have been scammed or attempted to be scammed, click on the Report a Scam button. It's right up on the top right-hand corner of Scam Tracker. That'll take you to a page. It'll take you, maybe 5 or 10 minutes just to fill out the information. But we rely on consumers to tell other consumers, hey, this just happened to me. Someone tried to get my money. Be on the lookout. It's a great tool out there, all free to the public, bbb.org, or go to scamtracker.org. And if you've been scammed, please report that on Scam Tracker, because that's valuable information to the consumers in your area. And then we use all of that information. We analyze that each year and try to figure out, hey, what scams are going on? What new techniques are people using? Who gets scammed? How can you avoid being scammed? So it's really, really valuable information.
All right. Tim Maniscalco, Better Business Bureau of Indiana. Again, the website is
BBB.org, all free to the public.
All right, thank you, sir. Tim Maniscalco, Better Business Bureau of Indiana. Hope that'll save you some money. And again, don't forget to check out the Scam Tracker on their website. Pretty cool site, lots of info, and a way for you to kind of share your info if you've seen something kind of fishy going on out there. We'll talk to you again next week on Focus on Community.
You've been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program that focuses on issues and events in our community. To be considered as a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by calling 812-420-2518. Be sure and tune in again next week at this time as we focus on the community.